Yo, it's the Southside's own Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
So Jake Bentley chased and dropped at the 15-yard line. Roquan, the chef.
Smith. Roquan Smith. He's the highlight show of this defense.
In the ring. Steamboat's got him up. A slam. McClaire inside. Payne 1, 2. He got it. He got it. Steamboat's got him up. McClaire has done it. McClaire has done it.
And there it goes. Abreu massacres this ball to left center field.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
What's up and welcome in. You're listening to Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights at 7 on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Hit me up on Snapchat, SnapJHood. Hit me up on Twitter, Twitter.com, TweetJHood. As we broadcast live from our first Midwest Bank Studios.
Money.
We will hear from Jeff Dickerson, who covers the Bears and the NFL for NFL Nation on ESPN.com. We'll hear from him coming up at 9:30 right here on ESPN 1000. Hope that you're having a great Monday night. Tuesday, abbreviated show starting earlier. Don't look for me at 7. Look for me at 6. After Waddle and Sylvie, 6 to 7:40 into college basketball. We will have Tuesday Wrestling Tuesday. How about that? KC Joyner, the writer for the WWE on ESPN.com, is going to be with us coming up at 6:45 tomorrow. So if you're a wrestling fan and know of one, 6:45, Tuesday Wrestling Tuesday. Unless there's breaking news or some craziness, we're going to have him on at 6:45. Eric, it's going to be great. Wrestling conversation. It's going to drive Delbert crazy. But at 6:45 for a Tuesday Wrestling Tuesday right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. That's why I'm doing it. But you know, there's a lot of stuff going on in wrestling. A lot of news that's going on. And it relates to the Khan family that owns the Jacksonville Jaguars. Tony Khan and Shad Khan, they're getting into the wrestling business. So this should be interesting. We'll talk to KC about that because he was in Jacksonville for that press conference for All Elite Wrestling. So we'll talk to KC coming up tomorrow. All right, 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. It's still, I got about 3 hours of content in front of me. That's why we have tomorrow. That's why we have Thursday's show for Under the Hood. We got plenty. I want to talk a little bit about the NFL playoffs yesterday and relates to the Bears only in this regard. Bears weren't there and these teams were. And here's your correlation. So, Kansas City defeating Indianapolis yesterday. There are question marks about the staying power of the Chiefs. Can they finally power through? Can they finally get past the New England Patriots? And I don't know if that's going to be the case or not. The one thing I will tell you is I was completely wrong about Patrick Mahomes II. 27 for 41, good for 278 yards. He was sacked 4 times, but he was able to get Kansas City off to a great start, 14-0 against Indianapolis, and didn't really look back. If you are a Colts fan listening to this program, and you're like, wow, we just can't get past Kansas City, take solace in this, is that a healthy Andrew Luck can increase your chances of getting back there again to the playoffs. So that's a positive in the right direction, definitely for Indianapolis, for them to be able to get to the playoffs. But Kansas City, we talk about prolific offenses in the NFL. Kansas City's one of them, and also the Saints are the other. Saints were able to get it done against the Philadelphia Eagles by the score of 20-14. question marks about Nick Foles, whether or not he is going to be a quarterback for the next season with the Eagles. Will he go someplace else? Will he retire? Question marks about that. I'll ask JD about that, as a matter of fact, because he's had some thoughts about the Eagles. So I'll get to that as well with him coming up at 9:30. But the thing that we can look at with this Final Four, including the Rams beating Dallas and New England all over the Los Angeles Chargers, the one thing that we know, Kansas City, strong offense. Rams, strong offense. New England, strong offense with Tom Brady. The New Orleans Saints with Drew Brees. It's pretty consistent on what we've seen here in the NFL. The ebb and flow of the season looked like this for me. Start off strong with a lot of offenses where, once again, defense seems like it was taking a backseat to offense, where there was these phantom calls and you were wondering why all these flags for defensive players. But we start to see the gap starting to narrow a little bit in the NFL, in which you start to see defensive players making more of an impact and slowing down some of these offenses. Perfect example is the Rams. Rams coming to Chicago taking on the Chicago Bears. And you saw what the Rams did. I mean, the Rams, I expected for it to be a blowout for the Rams because of what they do offensively. Home or road, I thought that offense would work. That dog would not hunt at Soldier Field. And you saw that 15-6 game, I believe the Bears won that ball game. But defense still matters in this NFL. It matters to the Bears. It matters to a lot of teams where you still need to have players that can pay dividends for you defensively to be able to help you get over the hump. When I see what the New England Patriots, as Tom Brady was talking yesterday to Tracy Wolfson on CBS, this whole thing where New England's going to bow out to Los Angeles, traveling across the country, L.A. having to take on the Patriots, as strong as that team is at Foxborough, and all of a sudden now the Patriots are done. They're not done. Tom Brady knows they're not done either.
Your eighth straight AFC Championship game, and it's a rematch against Kansas City. This time, though, in Arrowhead, what can we expect from that one?
It'll be a good game. They're a good team, and we played them earlier this year. You know, I know, you know, everyone thinks we suck and, you know, can't win any games, so we'll see.
Now, here's what is funny to me, and from my standpoint, I think that New England can be able to win and get to the Super Bowl again. And here's why. I trust them because they've been there and done that before. I think that when you're an adult, you're not worried about, well, this team wins all the time. How come my team doesn't win? It makes sense. The reason why that I don't feel like way is because I'm a grown-up. You see greatness in front of you. It's kind of like how some look at LeBron James and not understanding that LeBron James is an MVP every year if you want to win the award. If they were giving it to him, you'd understand. And here's the LeBron James scenario. LeBron James not being on the floor for anybody, Cavs or Lakers, makes those teams less. Look at where the Lakers are. He's not playing, and all of a sudden now they're dropping in the West. Of course, with him not being with the Cavaliers, that team could very well be in the top three of the draft. That shows you the importance of who LeBron James is. Same thing with Tom Brady. Tom Brady may not be the Tom Brady that you saw in his prime, but he's still getting it done. And team's still winning. And when you have arguably one of the greatest coaches on the sideline and arguably the best quarterback on that same sideline, yeah, increases your chances to win. And so, of course, I'm going to take New England, and I'm going to keep taking New England till they continue to lose and fall short. This is why I never get those that want to be able to be ahead of the story, the head of the hot take, so they can say, I said that they were going to lose. I knew that they were going to lose. I knew that the demise was coming. No, that's not how you look at it. You look at greatness for what it is, and greatness is the New England Patriots. From the Saints standpoint, the Saints beating Philadelphia 20-14, you give Drew Brees and the Saints the benefit of the doubt. You're not seeing the numbers. I'm going to look at their scores as of late. Of course, winning the playoff game against the Eagles, they'll take on the Rams coming up on January 20th. And that should be a very interesting contest on both sides. But to take on the Panthers and the Steelers and the Buccaneers, three of the last four games of the regular season, and they're putting up numbers, some pretty good numbers. Loss against the Panthers, but yet 31-28 against the Steelers, 28-14 against the Buccaneers, beating the Falcons, beating the Eagles 48-7, beating the Bengals 51-14. They went on a roll, especially after their first loss against the Buccaneers in the first game of the season. And you saw the Saints start to roll, and their offense really came to play. That's the hallmark of the NFL now, as much offense as possible. And so when I'm seeing this, I'm like, okay, look at the teams and what's the rhythm of it. It's for all the energy that you see in the NFL, the energy is toward the offense. Kansas City, the Rams, New England, and also the New Orleans Saints. Let me get to Dallas for a second as well. So the Rams win 30-22, saw a lot of this game. And Dak Prescott with a touchdown, 20 for 32. And they were wondering after the game, like, what happened there? Why did the Cowboys lose? Or because they're so polarizing still in 2019, whether they're America's team or not, and who's the better team, and is Jerry Jones at fault, and should their head coach be fired? All this consternation, right? When it comes to the Dallas Cowboys, what I will tell you is this, is that they got to a step on the ladder, and that step was to get to the playoffs. It's like the Bears got to the playoffs, the same thing. Just to be in the postseason matters. It's better than being in the lottery. And for the Cowboys, because they're so polarizing, it seems like the number one of the top stories, if not the top story on ESPN, on what the Cowboys do still. Bottom line is that they got there. And they took on a Rams team that was strong, especially in that second quarter when they scored 17 points. Jared Goff is similar to Trubisky. And we can have the barbershop debate on Goff versus Trubisky, who's going to have the better career. Who knows? All I'm telling you is that Goff may not be the same Goff we saw earlier in the season. But the offense is steady enough to be able to guide. And the defense, of course, with Donald, able enough to be able to guide that team. It's never going to be perfect. It's the NFL, right? Because there's a team on the other side. But I noticed something about the Rams after the Bears game. After the Bears beat them 15-6, now you take on the Eagles, and now, again, you're not exactly where you were offensively. You took on the Cardinals because that's the elixir for any problem that you have. Got a problem with your offense? Play the Cardinals and the 49ers, and they were able to win those ball games going into the postseason to beat the Cowboys. And again, it was at home, home field advantage for the Rams. I kind of thought that because Dallas does their practices in the offseason in California, it would be 60-40. And I think it was somewhat like that. I think the Rams had the advantage there. But the point is that the Rams were able to move on here now. Should be interesting to happen, should happen in the conference championships, because Rams and the Saints. I kind of favor the Saints in that spot, and I like the Patriots to win. Of course, I have until, what, Thursday to change my mind. I actually have a Saturday show at Jeff Dickerson as well, so I might change by the time we get to Saturday. I don't think so, though. I kind of feel strongly about that, and I haven't even looked at the numbers on that. I've not even looked at the numbers, the totals on that. I'll do that on Value Bet on Under the Hood podcast. But I kind of feel strongly about those two teams. And I will always side with the Patriots until they are completely knocked off. The idea that now is the time. Well, we don't know if now is the time. We'll find out when the time is. I'll tell you one thing. Here's one thing that's a hot take for you. You ready for this? Here's the hottest take I'm going to give you of the night. And you can take this to work with you. Here is my hot take. At some point, the Patriots won't be winning Super Bowls.
Red hot sports takes.
Woo, scorchy.
Pretty hot, right?
Man.
At some point, woo, the Patriots won't be winning Super Bowls.
You heard it here.
At some point, Tom Brady won't be winning Super Bowls. That's my hot take. Jeff Dickerson will join us at the bottom of the hour right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. How about this? So, one of the stories, it's kind of a, it's a B story to me, but I think it's compelling about Kyler Murray entering his name in the NFL draft, but the Oakland A's can still negotiate with the Heisman Trophy winner. What is life like for Kyler Murray? He elected to enter his name in the NFL draft. He announced that on Twitter today. The Oklahoma Sooners quarterback and reigning Heisman Trophy winner has given himself the option to choose the NFL over Major League Baseball. The A's have a $4.66 million signing bonus for Kyler Murray. Adam Schefter was talking about this earlier, about Kyler Murray and kind of the options that that Murray has. And then from there, trying to figure out where he is in the draft, in the NFL draft. Todd McShay with more.
I think he's a first-round pick. I don't know that he's the first overall pick. I think, you know, you look at the Giants at 6, the Jaguars at 7, you've got the Denver sitting at 10 possibly. Maybe they start to move up. But I think Dwayne Haskins right now would be the first quarterback off the board and then Kyler. But I do think he's a first-round pick, and a lot of people don't. Looking at him at 5'9 and change, I think the league is changing. The game is changing. We're looking at smaller quarterbacks who can make quick decisions, get the ball out, find, with spread offenses, find receivers open right away and get it out. It's different than the old days.
Mel Kiper thinks he's a first-round pick also.
The way today's NFL is, he's going to go first round, maybe mid-first. You have Miami, Washington. The Giants are up there at 6. That's where Dwayne Haskins, Ohio State, may figure. But, hey, with Kyler Murray, what is his height going to be? We'll see. But moving through the process, if there's no baseball involved, I think he's certainly in that mid-first-round discussion and maybe even a little higher than that.
So, here's something that you missed being a millennial. There's a lot of things you missed in sports. And that's why there's YouTube. But it's nothing like, and Davis knows this, because Davis is old enough to remember this. What if Kyler Murray did play both sports? We saw this, right, Davis?
Yes, we've seen it.
When we saw Deion Sanders, and here's the thing about Deion Sanders, and you can make numbers work however you want to make it work. Like, Deion was not a great baseball player. He's clearly a much better football player than baseball player. But the idea that he tried, just think about the two sports. Think about Bo Jackson. And I'll say this publicly because nobody else will around here. Bo Jackson still lives in the city. There's no reason why Bo Jackson can't be more part of our station or the Chicago sports lexicon when he still lives here.
Yep.
I don't understand that, because Bo Jackson, to watch him in person, and Eric as a Sox fan, if you would have seen him, and again, he had some great years with the Kansas City Royals, but the point is, like, when you saw him in a Sox uniform, you know, sometimes I just kind of chide the Sox about just bringing in people just to make the turnstiles work and just to sell tickets. Bo Jackson was more than an attraction.
It's a cartoon character come to life.
It wasn't Kevin Youkilis coming in here for a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
It was special to see him out there, because you knew you had someone that had national appeal on commercials. Everyone knew. It wasn't like the Sox, just like the little Southside hero. It wasn't like Harold Baines.
No, this is Bo Knows.
This is like a national attraction who played football and baseball. What if Kyler Murray did both in 2019?
God, would there be a bigger star in the country if he was good at both? Would there be a bigger star? I don't think there could be.
And Hood, if I'm not mistaken, I believe Deion Sanders actually had a teammate that was doing both as well, and Brian Jordan at the time. He was a safety for the Falcons.
Because you gave me the list earlier of some. Let me go through this list if I can pull it out, if you pardon the expression. You gave me Brian Jordan and you gave me Matt Holliday, also played both sports, right? But not like Deion trying it, and Bo Jackson trying it. I just think I think that's special. What if, and Deion Sanders talked about it. He says, you know, it's really hard to play both quarterback and play baseball.
He's a quarterback, so all bets are off. Bo, turn around handing the ball. He do what he does. Me, just put me on the corner and tell me who I got. I don't even need to see no plays. Just send me 16 pitches. I got 16 guys. I can handle my business. Brian Jordan, the same way. He's a ferocious safety. Quarterbacks can't do that. You got to be in it. You can't jump in midway and say, oh, I'm here. I could jump off a plane and come and cover. Bo could just jump off the diamond and come and give it to him 25 taps. Quarterbacks, you don't have that luxury. Mm-hmm. You're the leader. You got to have chemistry with your receivers. You got to be there 100% of the time, in season and out. So it's a little tougher for a quarterback to try to do so.
But it'd be awesome.
God, it would be awesome. That's a good point, though. Position-wise, like, that makes sense on how much more a quarterback has to do.
It's the most difficult position to pull it off. But if he can, it would be epic.
What if Kyler Murray didn't play quarterback? What if he was on the at safety? What if he
a slot receiver?
A slot receiver, kick returner.
Then I could see that being more of a chance. But I don't know if anyone will ever do it again, just because of how everything is so focused and hyper focused on the sport you're playing. Looking at the list of athletes who've played football and baseball, you got Deion Sanders, Brian Jordan, and Bo Jackson. Then before that, you have to go back to George Halas was the most recent after that. Someone named Ace Parker in the 20s, and then back to like the early 1900s. So basically since Dion and Bo, no one's done it.
And I think the last great player to have this type of decision was Joe Mauer.
Joe Mauer. This is written by Rosenthal in the Athletic.com. Other baseball football standouts aren't quite comparable to Kyler Murray. And so, and Davis, you sent me this earlier. I see this list here. Matt Holliday, seventh round pick with the Rockies, signed for $840,000 out of Stillwater, Oklahoma High School, rather than to attend Oklahoma State on a football scholarship. There's a lot of names here. You mentioned Mauer, but man, Kyler Murray looks more like a baseball player.
Yeah. I'd say he looks small in a baseball uniform. Imagine him in a huddle with all those offensive linemen.
I love that he has a choice.
It's awesome. Why not? And it's clear, like Schefter has kind of been saying it for a week. He likes baseball, but he loves football. That's what Schefter keeps repeating.
Something else. We have to remember this. Could he possibly use the Oakland A's to force someone not to pick him, a la John Elway?
That could happen, sure.
You know what I'm saying? Because John Elway had the Yankees in his back pocket. And he told the Colts, don't pick me.
And, of course, you have to mention the great Jeff Smarja also had a choice.
You know what I think of? Another would be is Allen Iverson, I guess, was a legendary quarterback in high school. Like every record in his state growing up. What if he was able to be a quarterback in the NFL in his time? That would have been amazing.
I just I love the idea that at some point we may see this. It may not. It's more like it won't be Kyler Murray, but that'd be so much fun because in the 90s to see again Deion Sanders, national acclaim. And you know what? While we're sitting here, because we're gonna hear from Jeff Dickerson coming up in our next half hour. Hold on a second, Eric. Let me give you a little flavor of Deion Sanders as we do that. Let us hear from Harold Reynolds from MLB Network about Kyler Murray.
Look, my generation, when I grew up, we played multiple sports in the hope that someday you're going to be able to sit there and have that option. You know, whether it's Joe Namath, who talked about it on this show, or Bob Greasy, who I met over the weekend, or I had two older brothers, Don and Larry, both played college football and college baseball and had options to go to the NFL. Or John Elway or Danny Ainge. You go on and on and on. That's why you play two sports or three sports or whatever it is, so you have this leverage. The difference here for me, the money is astronomical. You know, I started looking at Baker Mayfield, the rookie contract he had. You signed the rookie contract, it was $32 million. All right? He's 22, 23 years old. Kyler Murray's replacing this guy. I think there's several things that happen along the way. You're absolutely right. A lot of people didn't predict he'd win the Heisman. His dad did. He was boldly proclaiming that to me, but he did. And I think you look at that, you look at the rookie contract, but there's two things in my mind that stand out about the whole thing, Robert and Ken, is really one thing that stands out more than anything else. It's the opportunity of Major League Baseball.
So the thoughts there from Harold Reynolds. Okay, so I got Baseball Reference. And just to give you some flavor of Deion Sanders, Eric, as a baseball player. And, of course, I remember his exploits clearly much better in the NFL because he was just the ultimate shutdown corner who didn't want to get tackled. But 14 triples in 1992 with the Atlanta Braves. Now, again, he played baseball when he was 21 in 1989 with the Yankees, played with Atlanta, Cincinnati, and the Giants in Cincinnati right through until he was 33. So he played in baseball for 9 years. Now, the numbers are not eye-popping at all. And I'm looking, I don't think he was even an all-star, if I'm not mistaken. But could you imagine a Deion Sanders type now, that attitude in 2019 on a field? Crazy.
Just the fear of him on the base paths had to be something for pitchers and catchers.
How many years did he play? I got it from 89 to 2001. Of course, he played, I'll put it this way, 89 through 97, and then came back to baseball in 2001.
Okay, he played football from 89 to through 2000, and then came back in 04 and 05. That's a long career in both sports. And that's amazing.
I know he played a game with the Falcons and then played in a playoff game.
I do actually remember hearing about that in the same day. Yeah, I do remember hearing about that.
That was incredible.
I mean, so that's why I'd love to see that in some way, shape, or form, because the way social media is and how things go viral, and just to be able to document that, that's got to be just tremendous.
That's so, a heck of a shoe deal coming up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
At least a couple of them.
Yeah.
Because there's a cleat and two different cleats.
Can Puma get them?
Can
they jump into football?
All right. That's enough. That's enough. It's Puma. Let's not get in that conversation again. All right. Coming up, we will hear from Jeff Dickerson, his thoughts about the Bears press conference today with Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy. Also, his thoughts on the NFL playoffs. That's coming up next right here on UTH.
I go work like a doctor. When I rock the mic, you got to like it.
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000. Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Glad that you're with us. Don't forget a short show tomorrow, 6 to 7:40, right into college basketball right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. We turn to Jeff Dickerson. Part of Dickerson and Hood, you hear weekends here on ESPN 1000. We'll be on together between 4 and 7 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. Of course, he covers the Bears for NFL Nation on ESPN.com. He joins me, Jonathan Hood, right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. JD, as always, thanks so much for joining me.
My friend, it's great to be with you. And I'll tell you what, as end of the year press conferences go, without the mass firings, and we've covered a lot of those, this was pretty eventful today. I mean, you got a lot of news coming out of the Bears press conference for a team that finished 12-4 and made the playoffs.
So you didn't feel like you were being snowed?
No, I didn't. I was a little, you know, the delay was a little unfortunate. Typically, you have that press conference like 2 days after the season ends, even if there is the mass firings, as again, we have covered many, many times. But waiting, it was fine. I thought it was well worth the wait. I mean, you had a kicker that was essentially told, your services are no longer needed here. You have a very polarizing figure in Kareem Hunt, who is a free agent because obviously the video surfaced of the horrific things he did to that woman, shoving and kicking her. But the Bears did not rule out having some interest in Kareem Hunt. Then you have Chuck Pagano hired to replace Vic Fangio. So, I mean, there was a lot of good stuff to discuss today with Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy, who probably spoke for close to a half an hour.
Let me get your thoughts on Chuck Pagano as the defensive coordinator. Is there anything that he can do to enhance an already solid Bears defense?
Well, he's going to do some things differently. I mean, that's inherent. Whenever you make a switch like that, even if they would have promoted Ed Donatell, it would have been different because whoever calls the defense has their own certain style. I think where Pagano, from his track record, is different than Vic Fangio is, he likes to blitz a lot more. You know, Jonathan, the Bears didn't have to blitz a ton last year. They still got that pressure. When you have Khalil Mack up front, you can send four and get a lot of pressure. Pagano's known for some different things, so I think that will be different. It was interesting to hear Matt Nagy just kind of casually mention that because Pagano and Fangio worked together in Baltimore, the terminology and the language are probably going to be the same. So that's a big plus that I'm sure they talked about a lot during Pagano's interview. And really, to me, Jonathan, it was more about the Bears. One of the themes today that was probably overlooked a little bit because of all the other newsy stuff is that they were pretty clear that, look, they don't have a lot of draft picks right now. You know, the salary cap space isn't as large as it's been in recent years. The roster is pretty solid at most spots. They're not going to accept the status quo. As Matt Nagy said, if you're not, you know, getting better, you're getting worse. So I think that was maybe some of the thought with Pagano. They just thought overall he was the best candidate, and they felt like, you know, despite the fact that the defense was already so good, that they were going to go out there and make an out-of-house hire if they have to. And so I do think Pagano will be different than Fangio. But I don't think the defense is going to change a ton, but it absolutely will have its own little twists and wrinkles.
Jeff Dickerson covers the Bears for NFL Nation. He joins me, Jonathan Hood, on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. J.D., why did Cody Parkey go on the Today Show? Did he do it for sympathy?
100%. What else was he trying to gain other than to pull some sort of public relations stunt, which obviously backfired, Jonathan? Unless his plan all along was to further force the Bears' hand to get rid of him. There was no upside for him to do this other than just trying to elicit sympathy for people. So it was a bad decision, and the Bears confirmed today that they weren't happy about it. I mean, you rarely hear a GM or a head coach speak so candidly about something that a player did that disappointed them. Matt Nagy saying, you know, we talk about we things, and that was not a we thing. That was a me thing by Cody Parkey. And, you know, look, financially, they'll take a bit of a cap hit for this. But Ryan Pace summed it up, Jonathan. At the end of the day, it's about production and learning from your mistakes. Signing Parkey was a mistake. And it seems like it's only a matter of time before the Bears rectify that and are on the search for a new kicker in 2019.
J.D., what was the highlight of your NFL weekend?
Well, for me, my friend, it was obviously watching the Cody Parkey Challenge in front of Goose Island, where Michelle Steele got the video of the guy getting the football in the, you know, privates. I mean, you can keep your divisional weekend, but when I see guys and ladies willing to make a 43-yard field goal on a slippery piece of AstroTurf in our beautiful city, and a guy gets kicked in the you-know-whats on top of it, that's the best part of the football season, or football weekend for me. That was better than Patriots Chargers. Come on. That was over in the first half. That was good stuff. So that was my favorite. And I would say number two was, you know, the Eagles and the Saints was a great game. I'm like, give Philadelphia a lot of credit for going into the Superdome and having a chance to win that game. Very tough. And for it to end the way with Alshon Jeffrey missing the pass was unfortunate. But again, that is a clear runner up to man getting kicked in the groin by an errant field goal attempt in front of Goose Island Brewery.
After what happened to the Eagles the other night, J.D., tell me, what is the future for Nick Foles as a quarterback in this league?
Nick Foles is going to go someplace and sign for a ton of money. I don't know where. I don't think it's an easy decision for Philadelphia because Carson Wentz does have durability issues. But, Wentz is the draft pick. He's younger. I just think if push comes to shove, you got to go with Carson Wentz over Nick Foles. I don't think how Foles played in the postseason is going to deter a lot of teams. He's done enough to get another shot to be a full-time starter in this league. As we've talked about a million times on our shows, there's a shortage of quality starting quarterbacks in the NFL, and Foles is going to get that opportunity. So for him, he better go to a place that has a good system, good play caller, someone he can connect with, because we saw when he was in St. Louis and he was with Jeff Fisher how much he struggled. You know, Fisher leaves, or he goes to Philadelphia, catches on with Doug Peterson, and he's making magic. So, again, after he already had a good run earlier in his career with Chip Kelly. So I think Nick Foles is going to be a very handsomely paid man this offseason, but I think if you're the Eagles, you just can't go with him over Wentz. You've got too much invested in Carson Wentz for that not to work after just a couple of years.
Jeff Dickerson covers the Bears and the NFL for NFL Nation. With me, Jonathan Hood, on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Jeff, tell me, who do you have more confidence in, the Rams or the Saints, to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl?
I think the Saints. I just think it's so hard to win in the Superdome. The Eagles, again, were close. But I just feel like this is the Saints' year with Sean Payton putting all the money out there and hiring the bodyguard around the Super Bowl trophy. I've said all year that I think the road to the Super Bowl and the NFC goes through New Orleans, and I'm not changing my mind. I think the Rams, you know, certainly look good at times against the Cowboys, but for them to go on the road and win in the Superdome, I don't see that happening this weekend.
Jeff, as always, we appreciate your time, my friend. Looking forward to you and I hooking up on Saturday afternoon.
Always, my friend. It's going to be a great show as we get ready for Championship Sunday. Once again, your questions are on point. Your delivery is impeccable. And I always enjoy us catching up, talking football, and talking about guys getting footballs kicking their groins.
Hey, yo, Jay Hood, you know nobody covers the sports like you do, man. Let's go.
Oh, jeez.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. The Bowen Show.
Glad you're with us here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Under the Hood with you here weeknights at 7 here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Are you going to keep that on the page?
The Bowen Show.
Malika loves it, so we're going to keep it handy. Eric, if she loves it, then we're going to keep it, right?
Malika at least thinks it's funny. That's fine.
If people call in for tickets for the Boat Show now, that would be hilarious.
The Boat Show.
312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Do you know that we have, and I'll talk a little bit about this tomorrow, Eric, about the first half of the NBA season's over. It is. I know that people look at the All-Star break as the unofficial start, but actually the first half of the NBA season is over. And if you have not checked out the standings, you will see that the Chicago Bulls are not in a good spot. And on top of that, besides them being, let me scroll down. Oh, there they are, 10-33. Besides them being 10-33, and losing their ass, losing against the Jazz, Warriors, Trailblazers, Nets, Pacers, Magic, and Raptors. Last game they won was against the Wizards, 101-92, and even before that they lost to the Timberwolves. Can I just tell you something? I saw this from Joe Cowley from the Chicago Sun-Times regarding what's going on with this Bulls team. Somehow, some way, slyly, the Chicago Bulls gave Jim Boylan a salary bump quietly as one of the stories. You know, a lot of stuff about the Bears and the NFL playoffs, but I'm always keeping my eyes on this. Source, Bulls give Jim Boylan salary bump and deal through next season. Bulls coach Jim Boylan wasn't about to sugarcoat the emotion that he was feeling on Saturday. Yeah, it's a big one. The last time, he's talking about his time with being in Utah with the Utes, blah, blah, blah. But here, the story goes, a team source told the Sun-Times on Saturday that Boylan has not only received a bump in pay since he took over for Fred Hoiberg on December 3rd, he also received a contract through 2019-20. When he was promoted, Boylan was working under his associate head coaching deal, which paid him more than just $800,000 for the rest of the season and through next season. The Sun-Times reported that Boylan was betting on himself to earn that increase for 19-20. Now, the front office appreciated the gesture because it would be paying the remainder of Hoiberg's $5 million contract. So a little bumpage. If he's making $800,000, was he making $1 million for this nonsense? Now, listen, you get as much money as you can. I don't care if you're digging ditches, if you're in a police car, it doesn't matter if you are doing what I'm doing for a living, doctor, lawyer, whatever you do for a living, you get that money. But when you're Jim Boylan and you have this team, I mean, I'm always for trying to earn your money, right? What has Jim done to earn a little salary bumpage? I mean, yes, he was an associate head coach. Now he's the head coach. So you're reworking a deal for what, one more penny? I'm not sure if he deserves a penny. Just to be honest with you. This is just a disaster.
It should be incentive laid where if they get Zion Williamson, then he gets his money. But if they don't, then he doesn't get his money.
People came up to me at the Credit Union One Arena, the old UIC Pavilion, over the weekend. And asked me about something I said on the show last week. We were doing an early show. We were doing 6 to 7:40 last week too, right? So I was talking about the Bulls. And I'm one of these Bulls truthers, not one of these guys that's going to tell you, it's so good to get the tank because we'll get Barrett and Zion and it's going to be so much better. Nah, it's not about that. Somebody came up to me and asked me, he said, I heard you on the show the other night. Like, yeah. The guy says to me, he says, do you really think they hired Jim Boylan to be bad? I said, that wasn't hyperbole. I said, it's very rare you'd have to really, really search through my shows, and they're all available on the archive on the Under the Hood podcast. Look for times where I was just completely tongue-in-cheek and not meaning what I say. Now, we joke a lot on this show, but what I'm telling you is that Jim Boylan has been around the NBA for a long time as assistant coach. And when he's disrespected immediately after Fred Hoiberg is let go, you could tell that there's a disconnect there, to the point where I don't really think that Paxson Gar are very good when it comes to evaluation. I think that's very clear. Even if you don't think that's true, just look at the one loss record. Look at what's happened with the Bulls team. See, what I try to do every night is just give you the facts, because here's why I gotta give you the facts. We're living in Chicago. I can't BS you. It's right in front of you. You have a financial or an emotional investment in these teams. I can't BS you. That's why I have to do the kind of show that I do every night, because in my hometown, you can't be BS'd. You know a con man when you see it. You know when you're getting ramrodded if you are a Chicago sports fan. And so when I say, you know, I think they hired Jim Boylan because, well, if they really want to tank it, they put Jim in that spot. Learning how to coach, trying to get respect from players that don't want to listen is the same thing with Fred, but I think it's even worse. And then from there, the idea that the Bulls are unplugging their offense. Have you seen the Bulls' offense? Have you seen, after a missed shot, them walking the ball up? You're really trying to tank it. In a fast-break, three-point shooting, high-octane offensive league, they are walking it up like Fratello with the Cavaliers back in the day. It's brutal. So you don't want fast-break points, but you want to keep packing the paint for Lopez, who wants out of here. So what's the point? See, I don't get riled up about it. I just want to tell you that I really think that Jim Boylan is in place because he sucks, and I think that Garn Paxton, he sucks. And so give him a little bump up. He can try to give them some kind of discipline. But see, the whole thing is that, and I've said this many times, John should coach the team, because John knows exactly what needs to be done for this team, because sitting in that cushy chair upstairs is not really where he should be. He has actually coached before. And so because he's coached before, he should be down there and to give the Bulls exactly what they need. The idea that you've got to play with more emphasis, you got to play with more passion. This is what John brings to the table as in his role now, but he really should be the head coach. And because he wants, for somehow, some way, for Jim Boylan to bring exactly what John wants, that energy is just not going to happen. So I find that just amazing. All right, we thank you for listening and being part of the program here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. I'll wait. 45 seconds. 44 seconds. I can keep going. I got another hour. I got another hour and a half of information. I think I better leave, though. Our thanks to Jim Margulis. Our thanks to Jeff Dickerson. And our thanks to Eric and Sean on the other side of the glass. Tomorrow, short show, 6 to 7:40 here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Don't forget the Under the Hood podcast. We've got it for you. It's something that you might have missed in previous episodes. It's right there. Download it into your device if you're into podcasts. All right, I'll talk to you tomorrow, 6 to 7:40 right here on UTH. I mean, Jim Boylan's just terrible. I mean, I'm just telling you right now, he's awful. I mean, what exactly are they doing here with this team? I mean, they want to take it all the way to the bottom, and then you get Zion, and then what? Another 5-6 wins? I mean, where is it really going? It's brutal.
Jonathan Hood.
I'm so hood.
On ESPN 1000.
Hey.